Juno Afternoon is made possible in part by Hanson Gress, delivering IT support to local businesses for more than 15 years. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my first guest today is Kimberly Vaughn, Observation Program Leader for the National Weather Service Juno. Hello.
Hi there. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. And welcome to the show. You're here to give us our Weather Wednesday for the month of February. But before we get into that, let's hear a little bit about you. How did you get into studying the weather?
I got into the weather by joining the U.S. Navy. And so I did that for 10 years and then got out of the Navy and started in with the National Weather Service out in Cold Bay, Alaska.
Oh, wow. How long have you been here in Juneau?
I've been here since 2002.
In your opinion, what are some of the advantages and disadvantages of forecasting the weather here in Juneau or Southeast Alaska?
Southeast is really unique in the sense that it's about the size of Florida. And we have one forecast office, and the state of Florida actually has 7 forecast offices doing their weather. And last time I checked, Florida doesn't have complex terrain and all the inside passages that we do have. So that really adds a complexity to the weather because it's not going over just a flat piece of land. So we have maritime weather that moves in from the ocean. And then we also can have continental air that comes in from Canada and when they come together, it just can be a real plethora of different types of elements that can happen.
What is the wildest or most interesting or most frightening weather phenomenon you've ever witnessed anywhere?
I would probably say, the hurricanes when I was stationed down south were definitely interesting fortunately, didn't have to see any real big storm surges, but definitely winds, which then when I got out to Cold Bay, hurricane force winds were kind of normal. So kind of was a warm up to living out there.
Yeah. Well, let's get to the forecast. Looking first back at January, I saw a tweet today from National Weather Service Juno stating that it was actually cooler and drier than normal. So is that accurate? What did we see in January versus what we would expect to see?
Well, January was actually a little bit cooler. What was interesting about January is we had warmer than normal temperatures, but then we ended up having really that kind of stretch of a week or so of below normal temperatures. Yeah. So overall, we ended the month below normal, although we had above normal temperatures. So it was sort of this yo-yo of a month where we were running around in just our sweatshirts, and then all of a sudden we needed our parkas, and now we're back to, you know, kind of
rain jackets.
Yeah, rain jackets again. So it's overall, it averaged out to just slightly below normal.
Was there anything strange going on that caused that sort of yo-yo effect with the temperatures?
We had a lot of weather that came in from the south, and then finally, basically, the Arctic air moved down from the north, which is where we should have been it should have been farther north to begin with, obviously, but so it gave us finally that kind of cold, but it was gave us a real good punch. It was an Arctic air.
No, it didn't ease you in at all.
No.
It just went from one extreme to the other. Yeah, that was an interesting ride. And then just looking back over the past week or two, considering all the precipitation we kind of got at once, are we well away from the drought conditions we had like earlier this year in the summer or last year in the summer?
Yeah, you know, the drought is an interesting thing. It's not something that happens because we just had a dry January or dry summer last summer. This is actually a couple of years in the making for a drought, so where we have impacts. And so it's going to take us a while to get out of that. And in fact, you know, with our precipitation amounts all being, you know, below normal, except for, you know, Ketchikan. So, which is good because that's where they were then the mm-hmm. most extreme drought. So it's good that they were just very slightly above normal for precipitation in January. The other thing that's also hurt us for putting us into these drought conditions is the fact that we haven't been getting the colder temperatures in the winter, which is meaning we're not getting the snowpack. And so we don't keep that snow in the mountains, which is kind of like our battery backup. Mm-hmm. So when it gets, you know, warm and dry over the summer, you have all that snowpack that'll melt and give us still the water we need in the rivers. And when we don't have that snowpack to last us through the summer, that just escalates a long period of dry during the summer.
Okay, well, that doesn't sound great, but let's look ahead. We have had obviously we've seen a string of winter storms to kick off the month of February. What's ahead for the rest of the month?
Well, the rest of the month isn't looking too exciting as far as any real strong signatures and such. So it really is looking a little bit warmer than normal. And when I say that, we have better chances of it being warmer than normal. And we have better chance. There's no real clear signature to where the precipitation is going to be. So it looks kind of more on a normal level. Not to say that we might not have that yo-yo we had in January with some highs and some lows.
Right. And then looking at the seasonal forecast, which is February, March, April, what do the indicators tell you?
Well, that's even a little more on the not exciting part. And it's so CPC, which is the Climate Prediction Center, they're the ones that actually put out these long-term forecasts. And they're looking at a lot of different things. And the things that they look at, there's basically nothing to tell them that it's looking like it's going to be warmer or colder or drier or wetter. So basically there's no indications of what it's going to do, meaning it could be normal or not. So not a great answer, but it's one of those where it's looking like there's no real signatures to say either way.
Holding steady then.
Yes.
Well, that's a good reason for you guys to come back next month and tell us what's changed or what stayed the same. That pretty much wraps up all the forecast questions I had for the long and the short term. But I wanted to ask you about something called the Cooperative Observer Program that sounds like you're the leader of.
Yes.
What is that?
It's basically a volunteer program that people agree to take observations for us once a day. It's a 24-hour observation. Most of the time, a complete station would include taking a high temperature, a low temperature, the max and min, precipitation, snowfall, snow depth. In fact, this radio station is a co-op. And so one of the gentlemen here has been doing the weather for us for many years. And it really expands the weather network and the information that we get. And we have about 30 in Southeast Alaska volunteers that they give us that weather. Some even do a water temperature down at Point Baker. We get soil temperature out of Haines. And it's really a great program. We provide the equipment. But it is a commitment to where, you know, we need the observations. We want them daily. And, it provides a lot of climate. Its program is focused on climate. But our forecasters do use that data to help them provide a better forecast in Southeast. So if we have a system, let's say, that's coming from south to north, we'll be watching what the co-ops have given us, the cooperative observers in Ketchikan, to help give us a jump on how did we do there to how can we help wrangle Petersburg and the communities as it comes north.
How do these folks submit their reports?
They'll get on the computer and they just enter their data. It's really easy. The observations in the summer take only a couple of minutes. In the winter, it's a little harder with the snow, but it's just really a commitment of a few minutes a day.
It sounds like you might still need some more people to sign up.
We always need people. The goal of the National Weather Service is actually one observer for every 20 square miles, which would be pretty much impossible in Southeast Alaska, but we definitely have communities that we do not have observers, and we very much would like to. Some of those places are like Angoon, Cake. We lost an observer in Port Alexander. Wouldn't mind having one there. But we do have Little Port Walter, which is right next door. we would love to have more if there's people that can commit to that kind of commitment.
How can they sign up?
If they go to our website at weather.gov/Juno, there's a page on there that talks that you can find co-op on there as well. Or if you even just email our office, I'll be able to get that.
And that, of course, is the source for the most accurate weather forecasts around, too, weather.gov.
Yes, definitely.
I also wanted to say, I think you guys have a great presence on social media. I mostly follow on Twitter. I don't know if there's other places on social media where folks can follow you, but I love the storm and snow report. So keep up the good work there.
Yeah, we're also on Facebook, so okay. You can find us there as well.
Great. Kimberly Vaughn, anything you'd like to add today?
No, just be safe out there. And one other place that anybody can actually report the weather is a place called MPing. And that's it's an app on your phone, and it's just MPing, and P-I-N-G, and you can report what's going on. So if you look outside, you go, oh, it's snowing. You can just go onto your little app, put that it's snowing, and that's something we monitor, and we can see where it's snowing, when it stops, that kind of information.
That sounds like more my speed, something I can just do whenever.
Yep.
From my phone. Kimberly Vaughn, National Weather Service, Juneau, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks.